Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed, and this particular episode of Force Center is one of our deep dives. We're going to deep dive into the factions of the galaxy. What does that mean? It just means all the different ways that we break down the kinds of characters we meet in Star Wars and all that great stuff. So we're going to have some fun doing that. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok, and this one's going to go back into the playgrounds of our minds, as Star Wars fans, all the way up to the modern day. I can't wait for this one, Joseph. It's like base-level Star Wars discussion. I love that.
Yeah. I'm really excited to hear your insights, because sometimes, you know, especially when we're talking about news, some things come up, I can kind of know, like, yeah, I think this is what Ken's going to think. There's some of these questions. It's a great mystery. Some of them, I'm pretty sure what you're going to think, but others, I do not know, and I'm excited to find out. But as always, we want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we are recommending A Test of Courage by Justina Ireland, a great High Republic book. To download your free audiobook today, you can go to audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/forcecenter for your free audiobook. And Ken, we have another offer, right?
We are not done with the offers. Inside Editions, publisher of a ton of great Star Wars books, is offering 35% off across their entire website with a special Force Center code. To get your discount, enter the coupon code FC35, FC35, or visit the website with this link. InsideEditions.com/discount/FC35. 3, 5. This week, we're recommending the Inside Editions book, The Lightsaber Collection, which we did on Tuesday's show. And we admitted that, hey, maybe we didn't change the note, but we also so love the book, we're going to keep recommending it. And there's also a lot of other Star Wars books on there. We'll highlight those as well. So check it all out and use that coupon code or coupon code, depending on how you say it, FC35. Joseph, we love their work. They're happy to support them as they support us.
Exactly. We're very happy to support them and happy to support either pronunciation of that particular C word. Not even going to say it because I always decide about halfway through the word which way I'm going to say it. And by then it's too late. And I've just said a third word that has no relation to the first word. Anyway, let's talk not about factions of that word, but factions of the galaxy. So here's my controversial statement. There are many different kinds of characters in Star Wars. So that's really what this is about, though, is kind of how do we think about who a character is affiliated with? So because sometimes a character is divided by their affiliation during a war, or sometimes by their profession, or even sometimes their attitude toward the galaxy. And these factions, I think, can be important to Star Wars fans because they're a way to discuss what parts of the stories we're most interested in. Are you all about the pilots? Are you all about the Force users? Are you all about the bounty hunters? Do you wish there were more politicians? All that kind of stuff. And it can inform what kind of merch we want, what era or eras of Star Wars we like and want to see more of, and just what we want to see more of in general. I think they can also be, you know, an expression of the story expanding. I'm sure you and I are going to touch on this a lot, Ken, but when we were kids growing up with the original trilogy, there were a lot fewer factions to list when it comes to Star Wars. And in a way, that's the way we thought of it, because there were so few that we saw on screen in those first three films that got highlighted. And I think the labels, it's also really interesting for me to discuss faction, because those labels can be really helpful, but they can also be limiting. So it is great to be thinking about what does that mean to us in the real world, and what does that mean in the galaxy sometimes when one character kind of does try to limit another character by labeling them of you're just this. Oh, you're a Jedi. Oh, you're a scavenger. Oh, you know, you're a clone, and all of the sort of meaning will be put into their, you know, quote unquote faction. And that's a part of the storytelling. So it's interesting from that perspective as well. Of course, as we'll also discuss, a lot of these factions, characters could be a part of many, many of these factions. So with all that preamble, I want to dive in with the big picture, Ken. What are your big picture thoughts on this idea of factions? Do you find them a helpful way to look at Star Wars, or are they too limiting, somewhere in between? Where does your mind go?
I think now, present day, too limiting, but deliciously fun, especially the list you provided here. You talked about youth, and this is going to come up a lot. And when I said base level earlier, I didn't mean like in terms of discussion, but just like the building block foundations of your Star Wars love. There were two factions growing up for me, Rebels or Imperial. That's what it was. But and the confusion of like what I mean there is like Luke was a rebel, Jedi are rebels, duh. Han was a rebel. I didn't care that he didn't really join the Rebel Alliance until he told Leia he was a general on Endor. None of that mattered. Rebels, Empire. That was it. But is it a helpful way? It is to just, when you're trying to look at people's perspectives on the galaxy and the story, this long list you got, pilots, bartenders, all those kind of things, like it's really thorough when you're just like, it's not necessarily bartender, it's, yeah, a working class guy who might have, survived the Clone War with his family and now he's got a certain view on droids, you know, like it's helpful in that sense, but also like anything, like any labels, limiting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what at first I was just like, let's discuss, you know, who we want to see more of. But then as I kept, you know, writing all these questions and thinking about them, I was like, that's kind of what I'm fascinated about is there is this undeniable thing, I think, in the way that we humans process things is we sometimes need a simple label, right? How can you simplify the idea so it can be easily communicated? And then once you get into the idea, then you get into the complexity. You know, it's sometimes why I go on about tip of the iceberg storytelling or like being in Hollywood and needing to pitch a story. You need that elevator pitch, that 15 seconds that gets to the core of what it is. And often that's hard as a writer because you're like, I wrote this whole story and it's about 27 things and you need to know this detail. And that complexity is the truth of the thing. But in order to make that idea sort of portable and quick to communicate to other people, you need this very short way to capture the idea. And to me, that's a little bit of what the factions are about, is they're valuable because if you're just having a conversation with a Star Wars fan, you say bounty hunter, everybody knows what we're talking about and we're on the same page. But like as the story develops, yeah, there's a lot of different bounty hunters. There's just total vile scum who love to hunt and for money. And then there are bounty hunters who will take certain kind of jobs, but not others. Or they're, you know, people who have been a part of the guild and people who aren't, and like all sorts of complexity once you get into it. But you start with that basic idea.
Absolutely. The point is there are layers to Embo and we need to discover them. He's a complicated.
That's my entire point of this episode. Let's get into Embo's layers. He's more than a cool hat, kids. All right. So I think also part of this did come from when we were kids. To me, you know, you really liked the war, right? So you focused on rebels and Imperials. And like, to me, it was like you're a rebel, you were an Imperial, you were a Jedi, or a bounty hunter. Like those were the bounty hunter was the, like, you know, it's not just the rebellion and the Empire. There's a third faction who's mostly with the Empire, you know, but they're different, you know, and it's exploded so much.
If we were on the playground in 1983, I would have been like, no, Joseph, Boba Fett works at the Empire. I read my friend who read Starscape. Yeah, it would have been a great discussion.
That's not what Starlog says. Yeah.
Starlog, yes.
Here is my attempt to list many, but not all of the factions in Star Wars. And I'm just going to say, like, this is, you could look at this thousands of different ways. So this is not a complete list. This is a subjective list from my attempt to kind of wrestle with what are all the kind of big picture labels that we could put on characters that we spend time with in Star Wars. So here we go. Jedi, Sith, Force user in general, Rebel, Imperial, Resistance fighter, First Order, a trooper in particular, a separatist, a clone, a military leader, pilot, a crime lord, bounty hunter, smuggler, scoundrel, which was one of my favorites, droid, scavenger, politician, skilled worker, pod racer, bartender, day drinker, and entertainer.
Sounds like a Star Wars dating app is what it is.
Yeah.
Swipe left on scoundrels, all right?
Swipe left on scoundrels. Go for the day drinkers. I just had to add day drinkers. I didn't want to disrespect Big Al and the various people we see hanging out in the cantina. And, you know, still up for debate. Who all is that in Jabba's palace? Because when I was a kid, like, they're all bounty hunters, right? And then when I watch as an adult, like, those people don't seem busy. Boba Fett, he's taking a break in between gigs or waiting for the next one or whatever. But, you know, I know there's old tales of the Bounty Hunters book in Legends. But, like, you watch it nowadays. Like, when I was a kid, I had my Reese action figure. Reese was a bounty hunter. And now it's like, I think that guy's just hanging out there.
Yeah, totally. That's what I'm saying. And to me, I'm saying it all funneled into Rebels or Empire. They all had a place in the organization for me. I totally know what you mean.
Yeah. And then skilled worker for me, that was like a big grab bag because I think we're seeing more and more of these characters come to prominence. Rose is definitely a resistance fighter, but that was kind of, that's some of the charm of her character is that she's, you know, an engineer. She's a techie. She has a real skilled profession and she chose to, you know, use those skills in service of this cause. Or somebody like Queel, who is really just like, I'm skilled with my hands and I was, you know, enslaved by the Empire for it. But now I have built my own life out of, you know, my specific skills. So I feel like that, you know, is a faction that's kind of getting a little bit more opipit. Opipit is a skilled worker. Yeah. A little bit more of their day in the sun. What do you feel like I missed or where does your mind go when you read that list?
No, I think you really did it all here. This is a great, how long did this take you? Did you watch all movies this weekend? You even got entertainers. I mean, day drinkers, I guess you could put night drinkers, night bartenders. Come on. No, this is great. This is a great list. Love it.
Cool. Yeah. The thing that I realized that I should have added, is spy, because we're going to see that more with Andor. And that's a particular new kind of focus. And again, yeah, he's rebel. You can call him a separatist at one point. You can call him lots of things. I also realized I kind of left out, I'm trying to think of the right way to say it, corporatists, like Newt Gunray, right?
Yes. Yeah. Look, maybe, okay. Maybe I was thinking it's like scientist, doctor. There's some mad scientists. There's some good doctors.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yeah. And I would put like, yeah, some of the like the Sith droid that's working on Anakin. It's a droid, but also a little bit of a mad scientist, maybe. When I sent this list over to you, were there any that you were like, ooh, I hadn't thought about that, or I want to see, you know, do you have any emotional reaction to anything in specific?
I mean, day drinker, I just smiled and went, yep, that's been me the last 2020 into now. All good. And just maybe it made me laugh. I keep going back to, you know, growing up thinking that, yeah, they're basically two. And again, I know there's bounty hunters and Jedi, but I'm talking 7 years old. You couldn't convince me that those five bounty hunters, they're on the Imperial Star Destroyer because they were down there in the break room waiting. I don't need new stories to tell me otherwise. I just laugh because it's you know, resistance fighter versus pilot. Yeah, there's a difference. They hang out in different circles and have different points of view on their accomplishments in the war. So all that stuff, it's a great list.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's get into this. We've talked about our childhood a little bit. And what faction did you gravitate to as a kid? And how and when did it start to change which factions you gravitate toward?
Yeah, sure. So jokes aside about Rebel Imperial, even then a scoundrel, because I'm such a Han guy, but I'm not Han on the surface. I'm not. And so it turns out I'm grumpy old Han at the beginning who probably is more good hearted than I want to be. It's weird to say out loud, people.
You resent your own heart of gold.
God bless it. There was something, because it was something I couldn't be. Luke's inspiring and Leia was inspiring as well. And I loved Leia, loved Luke. But I liked Lando too. And Lando and Han, man, they kind of have that vibe. And it was always like, I wish I could be, I was the quiet kid in the back of the class. I am not a class clown. I'm the one who studied the humor of the class clown and said, I can do that better. That's me. And so I looked at them and considered that, again, considered Han from the beginning part of the Rebel Alliance. You know, the moment he picks up Luke, he's fighting the war. All the details come to me later on in life. Not too much later, but later on. So yeah, I'll go scoundrel.
Yeah.
Cool, trying to be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a ton of sense. And the reason that I gravitate towards scoundrel is it's fascinating to me the way these ideas can get kind of built up. Like, yeah. Han is this character, we know him, but then when we meet Lando in Empire Strikes Back, there's just lots of actual lines of sort of grouping Han and Lando together under this specific umbrella of like, well, at that point, you know, Han had been a smuggler, you know, that's another kind of label. And he's a member of the rebellion. But he's also a scoundrel. And here's Lando, who's like, oh, well, he's the Baron Administrator. He's a successful businessman. But what connects them is they're scoundrels, which is like, it's so great to know that, you know, there are people going around inside the Star Wars galaxy going, yeah, maybe you're a rebel fighter. Maybe you're a pilot. Maybe you're a smuggler. Maybe you're a bounty hunter. But there's a specific class of you that are bound together by being scoundrels, which suggests this sort of like, you are really charming, you are really lovable, but you are kind of out for yourself ultimately.
Yeah. That scoundrel shrug. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think I liked the idea of that could be a group of people, the scoundrels, and that I would have liked to be a scoundrel, but I did not think it was possible for me to be a scoundrel. So I really, really gravitated toward the Jedi. And the Force users, I think just that idea of being connected to something larger and the you know, fantasy / analogy of using that kind of power like Luke could and Yoda and Obi-Wan and wanting to know more about this mysterious lightsaber wielding, you know, weird characters really was what fired my imagination the most. I feel like Scoundrel felt achievable in the real world. By others, I couldn't achieve Scoundrel, but Scoundrel felt achievable. Like, yeah, you could get a cool beat up old car and you could kind of be Han Solo in real life. Like, try as I might, I could not lift anything with my mind and quite be Luke Skywalker. So I think that's the way I processed it as a kid. And then I think as I got a little older and was, you know, really interested in like who's cool, who's mysterious and weird. I really, really started to think, you know, bounty hunters were cool. And like, we got the war between the Empire and the Rebellion. And what I really want to see more is a bunch of Jedi, and I want to see a bunch of bounty hunters. So as I grew older, I got more into the bounty hunter faction.
Interesting. Bounty hunters.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as we get older and our opinions about these characters or kind of character classes change, for you, has there been like a specific moment, a character or a story that has made you more interested in a kind of character that you weren't interested in before?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I don't necessarily feel this is a class you missed because it's just a name that pops up. But Marauders, the Glenfist Cloud Riders, right? I in a way you could tie them into Resistance Fighters, Scoundrel. It's a weird combination of all of them, right? But I love what it represents, and I'm more and more, even to this day, moved by the brief moments, all too brief moments we get with Enfys Nest and the Cloud Riders of just like. Her taking off that helmet's huge to me because it's just this like it's a bigger movement, it's bigger than me, and I need you to know who I am, and I need to just have a drink because this is enough, man, enough. And I've become interested in more of that story and how it ties into the Rebellion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how the Rebellion ends up being this really militaristic operation, and I love my Radices and I love my Andors and Leias and Mothmas. All those characters, but I love the grassroots kind of approach, which I think Rise of Skywalker ties into it. Just like, let's bring it back to that. You all must rise up. And so there's something I like about that. And as a kid, just, almost in the same regard, just seeing that scoundrel Han in front of the bunker, you know, taking laser blasts and Leia's shot and R2 shot and just making this final stand. I was drawn in by that as well, which made me started to realize that what Han was about or what he could be about or should be about, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yeah, Marauders, Pirates, that's growing as a faction. I think that is a big one that I missed. So thank you for bringing that up. And I love, that's the power of Enfys Nest, right? That's even set up because this is that the kind of thing I was talking about, that in-world way that these factions get used. Like it's, we can look at it from the outside is when we were kids, Rebel, Imperial, Jedi, Bounty Hunters, where you divided up your action figures because you didn't have a Wu-Hair to have a bartender section yet as an action figure. But in world, some of these terms have meaning. And I love the way it's presented in Solo of like, they're just marauders. And we all know what that means, that in galaxy of like, they're, you know, just swoop in and take things. They're not even, you know, they're not even part of like a organized crime gang. They're not bounty hunters who are going out on assignments. They're just swooping in and taking what they want, allegedly. And the fact that everybody has that view that's based on that faction is what gives it weight. When Enfys Nest is like, no, I'm kind of undefinable. I'm a rebel. But you don't really have but you don't see that yet, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm not marauding. I'm not taking things like the characters we're being introduced to in High Republic, because I want more, I'm taking things for a purpose, and I'm not a part of an organized, you know, group yet. Yeah, I don't have a rank. You know, I don't report to Crix Maydeen, which timeline wise, I know she couldn't yet. Anyway, but I think that's a great example of where leaning into these factions in the story can give them power. Mm-hmm. Because a character can reveal, I'm not who you think I am based on my label.
Yeah, bigger purpose, more of the story. I'm unveiling a back when again, going as a 7-year-old going, oh, Han is more about the money. Leia was right. That was out for me.
Yeah, yeah. I think for myself, a couple examples of this is, I think, you know, watching the Clone Wars animated series was a great way for me to get more interested in the troopers, because that was about really giving a face to the clones. They all had the same face, but they were not all the same. You know, I loved the stormtroopers aesthetically. You know, they both terrified and delighted me. I, you know, loved them as a kid. Yeah. But they were the symbol of this, you know, just faceless, you know, endless wall of of evil from the Empire, how they enforced it. And the way the clones are handled in the prequels, we get a little bit of that sort of humanity between Cody and Obi-Wan. We get the shock and the trauma of the clones turning on the Jedi. But like, especially at the end of Attack of the Clones, that shot that you and I both like, that we've talked about a lot, that really presents them as they're a symbol of war. They're a symbol that Palpatine's manipulation succeeded, and there's this just faceless army that's going to go out in the galaxy, and there's going to be, you know, more and more conflict because of this. So I think for me, for the Clone Wars animated series to really get to see their perspective, get to see their diversity, you know, I really like Echo. I'm excited to see the Bad Batch. And I think back in the day, if you had pitched me a show like Bad Batch, I'd be like, I don't know, I'm not that into the troopers. Right. But now I'm so excited for it because we spent time with that character, those kinds of characters, and gave them life.
I really love what you're saying, because I'm someone who loves, you know, I go on and on about, I love the look of a biker scout. I love Hoth snowtroopers. And even in, I mentioned like G.I. Joe, I love Cobra soldiers. They're just the best. I love every design. They're not the good guys, but I don't know them on an individual basis. And I think that carried over a little bit into my love of Star Wars, and particularly with the start of the Clone Wars animated series. I'm right there with you on that, where even now in our rewatch, you're looking back and going, oh, these were much more effectively used than even I remembered or give it credit for in the beginning of they are both, you know, faceless soldiers, but also individuals that you can tell the story of war in Star Wars and what it affects. One of the great tools to tell that story. So I think that's a great answer. Great look at the Clone Wars changing the view on trooper class.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think another one for me is pilots. I've always liked the space battles, but you know, the movies, you know, you get your Wedge, you get your Zev Seneska, you get your complaints from Hobby, but I never read those books. I played the Rogue Squadron game, and that was mostly Luke and Wedge. So it was more like, I like the idea of flight and space battles, but it was a lot of staying attached to Luke and Wedge. And I know other people have just loved pilots. Like that's one of their big Star Wars things. It's such a great reaction to the Squadrons video game. But the Alphabet Squadron books really made me more excited for pilots, because I think it was able again to just, for me, like give them diversity of the kinds of characters. And even though we sometimes talk so about the books being, you know, a little bit longer and having, you know, a lot of characters, a lot of things we're tracking. But I really think fondly about the individual characters and how different they are. And those descriptions of what it is like to be in the cockpit and what flight means to different characters based on their different cultures. Like while Lark by himself, like, made me into like I'm a pilot guy. Now I'm excited. You know, that the next big movie is Rogue Squadron, because I've seen the potential now.
It's So Alex Damon just texted me. He just felt it. He just was like, they're talking pilots. I didn't grow up with the, you know, I wasn't allowed to see Top Gun. I had open mouth kissing. I couldn't see it. It was banned from my Joseph. So I just didn't take to, you know, that need for speed. I'm also a very cautious kid. I rode my bike slowly. So I think that just kind of lends itself. I didn't pay attention. I didn't see Luke as a pilot, even though he was, and his father was a great pilot, and Luke was a great pilot. I saw him as a Jedi, obviously. And I like Wedge and Fender, but yeah, Alphabet Squadron, or even just hanging around someone like Alex Damon, who loves Biggs and fighter pilots and is so excited about squadrons. It just kind of makes you appreciate them and what they can do and tell the stories. Death Defying, they're risking their life every time they get up there. I know one F-18 pilot recently retired from the Marines. I know one in my life, and he's a special breed. You know, he is Top Gun. But exploring even that confidence, going into arrogance over who they are as their own faction, is interesting to me as well, and how they're still fighting for good or they're fighting for bad. Yeah, okay. I'm with you too. More pilots in my life, I guess.
More pilots, yeah. So that, for me, a couple of examples of specific storytelling that then makes what was just an idea of like, yeah, they're pilots in Star Wars, into something that's a little bit more exciting.
Yeah.
for you, do you have favorite examples of a character who is really many of these things? Like, as we're saying again and again, these labels can be limiting. Wu Hare might be many things, but we just saw him as a bartender. But then there are other characters like Luke Skywalker. He's a Jedi. He's a rebel. He's a pilot. He's a military leader. He's lots of different things, and we know that. What are other characters who fit into lots of different ideas of who they are?
I think the going back to the youth, the first one that really kind of I saw in that way, because, yeah, you're right. Luke's got a lot of check marks there. But I'll say this, Leia, I grew up viewing, like a lot of people, you read that opening crawl of episode 4, you're like, oh, she's the leader of the Rebel Alliance. Now, there's some truth to that, but also there's many more people with her in the command center, so to speak. But to see her as a leader who had a blaster in her hand, who was running around, who was on the ground fighting him, and also to eventually see her as, she kind of started as a politician. Even in my youth, it was, she was a multi-hyphenate that just, like, you can go anywhere. In this story, and you're all in on the fight, and that one went home, sunk in a little earlier than any other character, because it was palpable. She was also a princess, and
royalty could be another faction.
Oh yeah, I guess royalty. Yeah, right. But yeah, you know what I mean. Like growing up with that word, and growing up in an era where, you know, in the height of or part of that princess culture that. You know, it's the damsel up in the tower needing to put her hair down, right? And Leia was not that. For all, you know, some little flaws here and there in the writing of the character or whatever from George, you know, it's of its time, but it's also not. And it's also who Carrie Fisher is and what she brought in the role. I saw all of that kind of explode out for me. Princess with the blaster, politician on the ground, leader in the front. Like I really took that home early on.
Yeah, no, I think that's really well said that we do get to see her wearing many hats as she really pursues her mission to free the galaxy. A couple that jumped out to me because it almost feels like there is it's such a part of their character, their journey. But Asajj Ventress came to mind that.
Ooh, yeah.
A part of her story is trying to figure out, where she belongs. She Asajj spoilers, she's trains, from a Jedi that she meets, right? But then she's gets taken in by Dooku, and she's not really a full Sith, but she's definitely a dark side force user. She's definitely a military leader. She is definitely on the side of the Separatists, more so, I think, on the side against Jedi than any actual, like, yes, I've read the Separatist, mission statement. I'm all on board, but, like, so she's definitely on that side of the war, but not entirely because she believes in all those different things. And then when all of those things sort of fall apart, you know, she becomes a bounty hunter for a little while, but she is a bounty hunter with like her own rules, who's going to do what she's going to do. I would say that I can definitely slot Asajj into the scoundrel role of, charming, charismatic, might not have, you're really drawn to her, but you might not have, she might not have your best interest at heart, the exact same way Han and Lando could have that vibe. You know, so there's just a lot going on with Asajj, and I feel like a part of her story is, who do I want to be? Where do I fit in?
Beautiful answer. Beautiful. And Master and Apprentice are, two more sub-factions, I guess you could say, right? You're saying here. That's a fact, because you almost... You could write a Star Wars biography on Asajj Ventress called the Asajj, No Title Can Contain Me. and she herself tries to work through it, like you just excellently said, but that, she's a fascinating character. We do love her here and probably a character that is very popular, but I think deserves more due. I didn't think about it down to the bounty hunter. And, obviously I'm aware of her story, but just like, she moves through the factions pretty well, more than any other character, and feels the weight of each title, feels the weight of each name as she searches. That's powerful stuff there. Ah, see, good stuff. You got me thinking about something I hadn't thought about before today.
Nice, nice. My other selection was Rael Avaros, who I think is a Jedi and a day drinker. Good old Rael. I'd take more of that.
That's the one.
What's an overlap that you haven't seen that you'd like to? That it's almost this fun game of just going through the list and playing, you know, mix and match, or like a, yeah, no, I need a droid politician. Where do you, what sounds interesting to you of kind of a combination of ideas of identities that we haven't seen yet?
We kind of got it. I'll say Jedi and Cook, which is Porter Engel from High Republic. I kind of want that. But I wouldn't know. I don't, oh man, it is really just, you're looking at it. You're looking at a cross between the two. Could it be like skilled worker and Jedi, a Jedi who's like, I'm going to throw off all of these, the Jedi order. I'm going to go open up a small business. Me and old people are going to clean, and I'm going to change the galaxy one floor at a time.
No, I like this. I mean, because I am really intrigued by, we get to hear little bits and pieces of this. It's like, not at every Jedi go out on the field on missions. I think Jocasta Nu is that, right? She's an archivist. She's a librarian. And how many other Jedi are there like that who are like, no, I'm a Jedi engineer. Like, I design things. I build things. I fix things. Get a little bit of that with some Lego stories, but that's a whole different thing. I think that's great. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm joking a little bit, but also in the seriousness of just like someone who would just be like, look, I know that name, that title Jedi causes some opinions, and I'm that way, but I'm gonna rub elbows with those I'm supposed to protect a little bit more and see how I can influence and help on that level, you know, while running a dry cleaning business.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's fascinating to have a Jedi who would kind of take on some of some ideas that I think Ahsoka really stands for, of, you know, go through life and help who needs help. And that idea of like, I'm going to run a dry cleaning business, and I'm not going to go running across the galaxy to get involved in something. But if there's a problem outside my dry cleaning business, I'm sure as hell getting involved.
You know, again, I know it overall is kind of silly, but I see something there.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing, is an idea that initially sounds silly can really become, have depth and be fascinating in Star Wars, because Wars has this elasticity between the depth and absurdity, I think. I'm really intrigued by the one of the characters who's being described for Kevin Scott's High Republic novel that hasn't come out yet, which is with a sort of a Jedi maybe with, that's a blade for hire. Is that like, you know, yes, kind of the ultimate, I think, from maybe people my age, is our age's dream come true of a Jedi bounty hunter. Could it be like Boba Fett meets Luke Skywalker? What would that be like?
I'm very intrigued by that. And that's because it's like, I don't quite know, like, did this character leave the order, not want to be part of the order, was never invited in the order? Like, there's so much there.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've definitely seen that, like with Asajj, with the Force user, you know, turning to that. And I think there's much more to be explored there. The entertainers, you know, in Star Wars are always the, you know, background characters, everything from Max Rebo to my beloved Lulilo Primock, Vat Weirdo in Solo. And I know in some of the comic books, they've done some bigger arcs with this. I was reading one of the Star Wars arcs where the rebellion gets an assist from an actor who is also maybe dabbling a little bit in being a spy. But I think just because of my own life background in the arts, live performance, I'm so interested in, you know, a Max Rebo figure. What is the other part of their life? You know, an entertainer slash spy, or, you know, an entertainer slash bounty hunter, or, you know, or a Jedi who just believes like, no, a part of the light side is entertaining people, spreading joy.
Yeah, well, you talk about spies and Andor series and what the potential of that. What, you know, not saying this is in that series or needed to be that series, but what you're describing, it's I don't know, it's World War II like to me, to just kind of speak in general terms of, I'm a crooner and I got to get some messages to the Empire, or from the Empire to the rebels. You know, like, that's some cool stuff there.
Yeah, and I mean, in all the many Star Wars comic books and in books, you know, I have not read them all. I'm sure there is more stuff like this, but there is that real power to that of, you know, even in real life, it has changed. But like back in the day, you know, I'm a big fan of Sinatra and Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis and that era of entertainment. You read those biographies and like, yeah, no, we uh, we worked for Mobsters because that's who owned the clubs. So we had to. So depending on, you know, which era of Star Wars you go to, you know, somebody who's just like grows up on, you know, Gleon Salm and like, I love music. And like, great, you work for Jabba now.
Yeah.
That's the way it is because that's who controls things. Like, what is the, that's a really interesting story to me of, well, what else? I'm in the back rooms with these guys, these real crime lords making things happen. You know,
what
do I do with that?
Imagine like Ula, you know, telling, you know, giving some information to the rebels, you know, Luke or something like that. Yeah, I love that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, there's the Cy Snoodles episode of Clone Wars dives into that a little bit. So very interested in all that.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned video games, and we've usually got factions in video games that are like the Force user or the bounty hunter or the pilot or, you know, the trooper, which makes sense. They're the characters who are built for action, right? To you know, do things that that one wants to do in a video game. But what kind of these factions do you want to see in future video games? We've got that open world game that has been announced, but we don't know anything about it. And there's a lot of discussion of, look, ooh, what kind of character? What do you want to see in a video game that you haven't seen before?
I would love to play around with the idea of starting out as just a regular old denizen of the galaxy. Maybe you are a bartender. I don't know why I'm going to the Opeepits and Wuhairs of the galaxy, but maybe you do own a restaurant. Maybe you do. And then you start seeing the state of the galaxy and you start getting involved, or you're forced to get involved, or bad things happen. You gotta, you know, I'm not saying you're Liam Neeson going out on taking revenge. I'm just saying, like, start at that level. You don't have a great calling. You are not royalty. You are on the ground. You are in the galaxy and part of it, and stuff is happening in the galaxy. And what do you do? What are the choices you make along the way as you get higher up, or maybe lower, depending on your morality, I guess, you know, like you can Red Dead Redemption. I love making choices. Do I punch the guy or ask him to go away? What do I do today? If you could do that in a Star Wars video game, I'd be interested in that.
Yeah, I really like that. I think there's something really powerful about that because of these narrative video games, you know, get so much power from relating to the journey of the character. And if it starts with sort of like some sort of every person in the galaxy and like, well, yeah, it's a dangerous galaxy. So I've got a blaster on my hip. I have fired it once, you know, but I'm not like Mr. Gunplay. I'm not a, you know, I'm not a blaster slinger. But whatever happens in personal life, or somebody gives you a mission that you have to become, you know, a bit of a warrior, you find in video games, that'd be really cool. I'd also love that from the, like, the smuggler thing. We hear that about Han, but that seems like a fun way to start a mission too. Of like, at first I'm not involved in a bunch of, you know, nefarious stuff or, you know, big wars. I'm just trying to take things, you know, illegal things from one part of the galaxy to the next, but I get all cut up in this. That would be really cool to me too.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's unfolding in front of you. What are you going to do? You and I talked about when they announced the open world game, this version of the open world game of the choices are so key to Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do like the game that you have pitched many times about being a manager, a sports figure for the pod racers.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Thank you for humoring me, but no, yeah, I'll play with you. But look, come on. You'd want to manage Team Toe Plagueis.
Oh yeah. I want to manage Team Toe. Yeah. Team. I can get Team Toe. I can turn things around for poor Team Toe. I'd be interested in any of those kind of management games are fun to me too. And that would be an interesting idea to have a way to approach politics in Star Wars of, you know, having that sort of, you know, resource management game from a political perspective would be cool too.
I mean, are you saying you want a video game where you run for office, you get campaign, you got to help the galaxy? I mean, cause now I want that too.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you just set it in a random era and it's just like, you're the chancellor and you get, there's a problem here. Do you send Jedi? Do you do this? You know, but, oh, you could resolve that problem, but then you'll lose favor with this faction of the government.
Okay. I like
that. I don't know why that sounds fun to play right now, but for some reason it does.
I'm there for it. We'll release our collective video games as a double-sided video game feature.
That's right. Flip the disc. Just like the old DVDs. So those are some kind of a big picture look at some of the factions. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to dive into the individual factions, not all of them, because you heard the list. It would be an 87-hour long podcast. We're going to dive into the sections and talk a little bit more about what we, who are our favorites and what we hope to see in future Star Wars storytelling. We will be right back.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, Force Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, Force Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
And we are back looking at factions in Star Wars, how they help us understand characters, how they limit characters, how they help us express what we're excited to see in Star Wars. We're going to dive in. Kind of had that long list, but I also tried to kind of group that list into larger labels. So we're going to start here. We have our Jedi, our Sith, our General Force user. That is a pretty big umbrella. Do you have favorite examples of those characters? And what more do you want to see from that kind of major faction of Star Wars?
Yeah, I was going to say, let me give you some examples. I love the work Palpatine was doing. Really good, solid work. Up and down. Great Sith. Great Sith. I love this. I love Luke Skywalker. I love the story. I love the complete version. I love that we get to see the beginning, the end, and now we get a little bit more in the middle, including great heroic moments or the fair questions of, you didn't ask Din at all about what he's fighting for? Nothing? Okay. These are all wonderful things and part of the story of the Jedi. He's the last Jedi. He's the one many of us grew up with. He's the one that many of us got introduced to. He's one that a lot of people look to. You got Anakin. I'll tell you what, Ahsoka's spectacular. We'll talk about Ahsoka all day. And I'd love to, but I just love, we have that complete story of Luke, and it's just a great example of a Jedi through different parts of his life, of their lives, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And we were talking on the News and Cues show about that new book about the Skywalker family, and it'll be great to see all of those points of Luke's life, as well as all the other Skywalker characters tied together. This is a weird question to ask of, like, Ken, of all the, the Force users, do you have a favorite? Like, yeah, a lot of our characters are, these Force users are favorites. I'm so excited that we're going to get more storytelling with Kenobi, because I think Obi-Wan is not a perfect Jedi. I think he made a lot of mistakes, but I think he's a fascinating character who believed that the Jedi were generally on the right path and was really trying his best to just follow the path of the Jedi. Ran into some troubles, and we're going to get to see how he deals with them. I think Rey, my mind just goes to Rey because of her different kind of journey, but by the end of it, having that yellow blade and being this hope for the future and knowing that she can really help shape the future of this idea evolves. Those are the characters that popped in my mind because of the things I'm thinking about. I love everything you said about Luke, including how much story there is left to tell about Luke Skywalker.
Oh, yeah.
What I want to see more of in this faction, we'll see how Star Wars evolves. I would love at some point a big movie trilogy about the Jedi Sith Wars. I think sometimes when people are like, who are more interested in other parts of Star Wars, totally understandable. We're like, yeah, we've seen Jedi and Sith. Do we need that? And for me, seeing the Sith as prevalent as the Jedi and seeing them in this different light of not a hidden force, but yeah, no, everybody knows that there's a bunch of people marauding around the galaxy. There's the murderous red ones who will just come and take your planet. And then there's ones with the blue and green and sometimes purple, sometimes yellow, sometimes white blades who show up and they try to help us, but our planet gets destroyed too. Like, there's so much storytelling to me of, like, specifically the war and knowing that they're fighting for the fate of the galaxy and who are those individual Force users and, you know, how do they, what is their individual philosophy and what are Sith like when they're not the secret rule of two, but a bunch of them interacting. All that stuff's really interesting to me.
Yeah, because going back to even some stuff we were talking about earlier about the people on the ground, the denizens of the galaxy, like when the choices are very clear, you know, where it's not convoluted, where Palpatine's a secret Sith and he's, you know, speaking some half-truths or saying things that seem to make logical sense. Yeah, when it's like boom and boom and you got to choose and how that affects the everyone in the galaxy.
Right. Like, I think it would be that storytelling where, like, general people in the galaxy, like, well, some people with lightsabers are coming here. Would you rather the red or the other ones?
Yeah.
I think they'd probably say, not the reds, not the reds.
Right.
Not the red blades. So I'm very interested in that. Did you have any other thoughts on, like, other kinds of Force user stories we want to tell? I mean, we're getting High Republic right now, so we're getting a lot of that.
Yeah. In a way of the... We get so much to be beginning of their lives. And I talked about like Porter Engel, you know, he's 300 years old. He's in the High Republic for for people that haven't read the books yet. The first book, Light of the Jedi, no spoilers. He's 300 years or so old. He's been around for a bit. He's kind of decided to stay in the fight. He's not retiring. I said he's a cook, but he's picked up that hobby, but he's still out and about. He's still on the frontier. So we see a lot of Padawans. I love to know more about the Jedi trials and all that stuff. But what about those Jedi that did decide to step down? A lot of them get apartments in the temple or on Coruscant and just kind of finish out their days. I'm not saying I want a Jedi retirement home comedy or something. But like, what does it feel to lose your place in the bigger story? But also as you start to accept the end and accept where you're going. You know, so we get a little glimpse of it with Yoda on Dagobah and Return of the Jedi. To me, he knows it's the end and it's a big, powerful thing. And he just, this is his time. He can't go fight Vader with Luke. It's on Luke and Yoda can only do what he can. So, you know, just kind of the end of the story. We see it with Luke too, obviously, as I said just a bit ago, but just the rank and file Jedi, the ones who are like, what do I do now? Who am I without this great purpose?
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. And it made me remember also that there are lots of ways to look at the Force, lots of different kinds of Force users. I should mention the Night Sisters. I would love to see more about the Night Sisters. You know, there are those of us who all seem to have at the same time some energy, some mood that the Leslie Headland show might feature a Night Sister. Maybe it still will. If it does, if it doesn't, I would still love to see some more storytelling around the Night Sisters.
Yes, 100%. 100%. Because this idea of in and around the Force. That's why I love Lor San Tekka and the Church of the Force. And that's kind of, Sherrod Emway and Baze Malbus. The Force is Maxi Big, the Force, and a lot of people have different relationships with it.
Yeah, exactly. Maxi Big. There we go. That's the title of a dictionary about the Force. Now we're going to move on to this large grouping of factions. These are all actively involved in wars or military factions. These are some characters that you have really responded to in the past, Ken. So we're talking our Rebel, Imperial, Resistance Fighter, First Order, Trooper, Separatist, Clone, Military Leader, Pilot. What are your favorites in there, and how else do you want this group explored?
Look, I definitely want my Imperial officer hour-long drama, you know, of rising in the ranks of an evil empire. But what I'm more intrigued now is whether they be politicians, leaders, military leaders, spiritual leaders within the Rebel Alliance. This is why I always say I'm fascinated by the rebellion against the Empire. I love as they continue to unfold different ways to fight. And General, you know, Draven, you know, let's just go ahead and kill Galen Erso. Mon Mothma, who did it as a senator, but knew that that could no longer be the case. And she had to give that up and come out of hiding, so to speak, and say, this is where we are, that great speech in Star Wars Rebels. And then the Saw Gerrera of it all, where it comes from a pretty darn understandable and good spot. And you could argue a lot of what he's doing is necessary. And you could argue that a lot of what he's doing is just burning down the house. And I think of Leia, Princess Alderaan, and the ending of one of the characters there. Well, on the off chance, some of you haven't read it. And what it means, we hear a lot, and you raise those great questions about Jedi and the powers and knowledge and defense, and when is it time to raise the blade, and those big moral questions in Star Wars. But I'm just fascinated by the Rebel Alliance and leading up to your guy, by that, I mean the guy you just loathe, Noor Jebel, just saying, what? There's no Death Star, come on. our guy Raddus, we both love, and a lot of people love, of putting that flipper down, saying it's time to fight, like, all those things. Fascinated by that, and that's a great class for me in terms of the wars, militaries, and how do they go forward. And I hope some of it's going to be explored in Andor. We'll see, but some other time maybe.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, because I think a lot of these, there's definitely leaders in this group, but a lot of these people are characters who are just, they're down on the ground, and the choice of when to act, and is this violence that I have to do justified by the larger cause is not a philosophical question to be debated in the Jedi Council. You know, they can't go off and hide on a secret planet that's powerful with the Force, right? Right. They're down there and they have to decide right now. There's that great passage in the novelization of Rise of Skywalker where Leia is sort of thinking that maybe that's what makes her and Rey a little bit different, is their lives have always been dominated by crisis and just being right there on the ground and having to decide, you know, inaction is not a choice. So it's just, you know, actions, what action are you going to take? I love that, that perspective of storytelling that you're talking about. That'd be great. I think from this group of the war and the military, I'm really excited about what's coming down the line, because I think a lot of these kind of different perspectives could be explored. I don't know if this is the case, but with something like, you know, Rangers of the New Republic, that's really going to include, I think, pilots and troopers in this very specific era where, you know, the leaders are trying to demilitarize, but they still need a little something. If all of that great storytelling moves towards first or formation of the First Order, I'm fascinated by that, of different leaders with different perspectives, military leaders vying for control. Bad Batch is going to be yet another great look at clones and on the ground troopers. And, you know, does Bad Batch slide into being bounty hunters, or what kind of label are they going to put on then? And then, you know, Andor is great. Of course, yes, we get to see him as a spy, but he is a rebel trooper. He's a fighter. He was also a separatist, right? We know from the novels. And I think that that might be, to me, one of the, in these big wars, one of the least represented factions. That, to me, there's a, yeah, the, there are separatists who had legitimate concerns about the Republic, maybe wanted to walk away. And this is one of those times where we get to really thrill at Padme being right, of like, okay, let's sit down and have a conversation with planets who have legitimate grievances and let's try to figure them out. But then you get the Sith, you get Dooku, Insidious, using people like Andor and his parents to, you know, start this war. And so you can kind of look at the separatists and you see the actual military actions of them as shown to us in the Clone Wars, of the horrible, vicious things that, you know, Nuke Gunray or General Grievous does. And they've kind of manipulated people, I think, like Andor and his family into doing it. So we get a little of this with Mina Bonteri and Lux Bonteri, but it'd be, I'm really hoping there's some of that in Andor, of like, here's what I thought I was fighting for, you know?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a great idea. We, as you're talking, I'm all, we always go to the you know, the example of Mina Bonteri, of someone you can really look up to and understand that as a separatist, you know, but it all, not for naught, but just like it all spirals down to something she just wasn't aware of, the machinations of this evil lord. And how does Cassian Andor, raised as a separatist, doesn't trust Jedi, reconcile that angle? That's great. I love that take.
Yeah, and how he sees the history of the galaxy. So I'm really excited that we're going to get in, obviously, with pilots, Rogue Squadron, like, you know, the next Star Wars movie. That's a pretty big highlight.
Yeah. Pilots are going to have your day here.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, playing Battlefront 2 gave me more love and respect for troopers of every kind. So we go now to the dark underbelly of the galaxy. One of the factions that we haven't talked about as much, you know, we got our crime lords like Jabba or Dryden Voss or Maul for a while. And then, of course, bounty hunters, smugglers, scoundrels. Maybe not fair to lump scoundrels in, but so what are your favorites here? And what else do you want to see explored in this general subsection of Star Wars characters?
Yeah. Hey, look, obviously I said a lot about the scoundrels, and look, they don't want to be tossed into that, but they're hanging out in those bars. So be careful. All right. Who are your friends? Look around you. Who are your friends? I do enjoy the crime lord angle. Jabba, that, you know, the Guillermo del Toro story, he wanted to write the Godfather like Rise of Jabba or whatever, like that's cool. And I'm fascinated by Dryden Voss a bit. I think Dryden's an underrated character, but I know he has his fans of just like, who is he and why does he enjoy you know, snacks so much, while also what he's collecting and who he serves, and even his appearance in Clone Wars season 7 got me just excited, like a lot of people, like, oh, look at this Dryden. But just crime lords overall, Which is weird because I'm not like, you know, Shadows of the Empire touches upon it a lot and all those kind of things are out there. But I just had to see it dealt with again in with the backdrop being the rebellion or the empire and the oppression of the empire and how it works and how they grow. But also that they're there for a long time. That the Hutts, as we hear in High Republic, the Hutts are very, very present, not yet in the story, but just like everyone's aware of the Hutts and the cartels. So I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah, we get to see him a little bit in the Clone Wars as well. Yeah, there's something about I don't need it to be Jabba, but there's something about the Godfather that Star Wars is so good at pulling in different genres of all kinds and still making them Star Wars. There's something about that essential Godfather story of like, this is my business and I know that it's not a pretty business, but I've also got my family and I try to kind of keep my family out of it. No, that didn't work.
Yeah.
That story through the Star Wars filter in some way, I would love that.
Yep.
I think for me, the biggest thing here is, I still want to see the Kira versus Maul. What happens next with Crimson Dawn? Maul is such a fascinating character to end up, to start out thinking he's going to be, you know, a part of the Sith takeover of the galaxy. And now he's just, you know, running spice for profit. He's quietly planning revenge so he doesn't get smacked down again. And Kira's just such a great character who also defies some of these things and fits into lots of different, Assassin could have been yet another faction. I don't know if Kira is an actual assassin, but she does what she needs to do. Yeah. Yeah, so I still out of Enfys Nest is up there for sure. Absolutely tying that in her story into the story of the rebellion. But, you know, what happens next with Kira and Maul is one of my Star Wars stories that I'm most excited for that really fits into this category.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Droid. We've barely talked about droids and they're so important. Obviously droids can be many things. They're their own faction because they're, you know, droids, a whole different kind of being in the Star Wars galaxy. But we've also seen droids that are bounty hunters, certainly skilled workers, pilots, troopers, crime lords, the droid Gatra, lots of other different identities for droids. What other overlaps do you want to see? How do you think like the story of droids can be pushed forward in the galaxy?
Right. We got that Disney Plus movie coming too. Look, I have to admit, you know, I've admitted it before. I'm not going to deny my sins. People have, I'm a little like Obi-Wan. I don't treat droids that well sometimes. I'm trying to work on it and grow as a Star Wars fan. And I love 3PO, BB-8, R2, Chopper. I came to love him when I didn't necessarily like him at first. So I'm all for it. And I like L3, by the way. Let's not forget L3, who would be in my face going, yeah, yet treated me and my droids bad, and I don't like you. Change your ways. So I would love to see, I'd love to see them have a sense of, agency, responsibility, decision making abilities on the good side, more than the separatists. A lot of droids in command over there, but you know what I mean. Like the resistance and the rebellion. Can a droid become a general? And they got personality, no doubt about that. So I'd love to see maybe that kind of happen.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess we do also have 3PO as a leader of a spy ring, the way that gets enhanced in the Poe Dameron comic and other places, that he's got his network of droid spies. It's such a great twist and story for 3PO. Yeah, I think I'm with you. I love what they did with L3. You know, definitely some discussions to be had there about how her story was resolved. We've had those discussions other times and we'll have them again other places, but acknowledging that there is that discussion to be had there. I'd love to see if it's a comic book, if it is a Disney Plus show. I would love the challenge of a droid as the main character, period. It's not a story from the droid's perspective as they witnessed great events of the galaxy and did things. It's not the R2 story where he's kind of secretly the hero, you know, where you trace like, oh, wow, the galaxy would have fallen apart without R2-D2 specifically. Mm-hmm. But just no bones about it. Main character. And, mm-hmm. you know, what is it they're trying to do? You know, I really like some of the storytelling that happens with droids, that their programming evolves and they become different from where they started. You know, it's been approached a lot in books and comics of you can, in Mandalorian, I guess, that you can program them and you can add personality patches and they can head in specific ways. But sometimes they just develop on their own, or they start with a certain personality set from the factory. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff to be explored there of, you know, if a droid developed a personality, L3 has this of like, no, you're going to respect me and I'm leading the fight for droids being respected. So we do have a little bit of in L3's story.
Yeah.
But I'd be fascinated by a droid who just like, you know, I'm obsessed with being a hunter of artifacts, like a droid who wants to be, you know, an archaeologist. Hey, there we go. There's another faction I forgot.
Afra fans are screaming at us.
Sorry, took an hour into it to acknowledge Afra and maybe Lor San Tekka.
Yeah, yeah. And Afra's also a scoundrel, too. Let's not forget.
Oh, absolutely. She is a charmer that you got to watch out for. But yeah, I think just like a droid who truly wants something because they feel compelled by it. They feel drawn to something, you know?
Yeah, I think same vein, a little bit of the military in the rebellion, a military leader or resistance or whatever, of just like, hey, I got some metal skin in this game and I want some out. I'm here for it. I'm here for more. But what you're saying, I love a droid, like a protocol droid that's like, very knowledgeable about history of the galaxy and is like, no one seems to be paying attention to me. I'm going to go collect relics and make everyone pay attention to me.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, I don't know if this would be like a whole show, but, you know, I'd love to see, you know, a droid politician who's like, what? I ran for office on this planet. I'm the best representative in the Senate.
Yeah, that's interesting. I could dig that. I could dig that.
A lot to be explored. I mean, I think that there is such a wonderful grand tradition of droids as odd, quirky sidekicks, best friends, hidden asset that doesn't get valued as much as they should. But I'd love to just see that get turned on its head a little bit.
Yeah, good call.
Scavenger. So this is one that really popped to me in The Force Awakens. This is one of the reasons that, honestly, for years I've been going like, oh, we should talk about this idea of factions and labels. In Force Awakens, Rey really gets labeled as a scavenger, as though that is a title for a kind of person across the galaxy. It's not like they're reaching for like how to describe what you've been. It's like people know what that is, right? And it gets said to her, multiple times in a sort of we want to put you in your place because it's an unimportant thing to be is a scavenger. What is interesting to you about this idea of a scavenger as a label, as a faction? Who belongs in it? What are all your thoughts?
Well, it's so, and some might, some scavengers might be like, yeah, no, that's what I'm a scavenger. And I'm damn good at, and I do it to survive. And they're going to try to own the narrative on that title. But I definitely, as it's presented, so glad you brought it up, because it is so prevalent in Force Awakens, right? It is so, and then it comes, back in Rise of Skywalker about Rey's past, all stuff. But yeah, it's because it's finger in the face, like scavenger.
Yeah.
And I take it as it's just a little bit of classism, a little bit, maybe a lot of it classism of just, you're someone that has to scrape by to survive because the state of the galaxy and New Republic ain't perfect. And First Order is trying to change that with lies and everything. Like, and that's what you are. You're out there in the desert. You're a rat cleaning, gathering metal just for food. You scavenger scum. And it's like, no, that ain't fair. And that ain't right. And take a look, good picture. And for Rey to come from that, and a lot of people just not even come from it, that they're all, Jedi at heart, but just like just to survive in the galaxy and examine what it is. And we look at Jawas, or they're scavengers, right?
Right.
And very much looked down upon. Very much looked down upon by a lot of our characters in Star Wars. So yeah, let's dive into that. The socio-economical conversation around scavengers in Star Wars.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is really what it is. Like Jawas, there's a lot going on there. I really like Mandalorian really showing that they have a culture and they have a community and they like specific treats and they hang out on their patio on top of the sandcrawlers. Yeah. But they're scavengers. And you get the sense that maybe that's their way of being and they are happy with it. But then, yeah, on the Rey side of it, for me, it is, I know not everybody wants to look at Star Wars that way, but it is entirely commentary about the socio-political situation of the galaxy, mm-hmm. of people, you know, Rey ends up on this planet with nothing, mm-hmm. and she kind of stays there because she hopes her parents might come back. But, you know, in the stories we have, she gets limited opportunity to even attempt to get off. And this is what she has to do to survive. And to me, it's like, yeah, no, it's sad that there are people in the galaxy that have to, you know, live like Rey's living, you know, fighting for every little thing. And people judge her for it. Like, she made this less than life choice, right? You know, instead of, hey, maybe somebody should have got out there to Jakku and busted up Onkar Plot's, you know, operation, which was, you know, clearly generating a difficult way to live.
Look, yeah, even Han. I love my man Han. I love my boy Han. But Jakku, that junkyard, you know, site of a major battle, and everyone's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, even Luke, there's so much judgment. Yeah, no, that is nowhere.
You're right. And like, come on, Luke, look where you live. Yeah, yeah.
No. There's a Sith observatory there, Luke.
Yeah, the Sith observatory. Yeah, come on.
Come on. Lor San Tekka is hanging his hat there. It's not nowhere. I love that. And it's also just, for me, it's excited me of like, oh yeah, there's so much still to be discovered about the galaxy of Star Wars and so many great you know, stories to be told when there's something like scavengers can suddenly go from just like, yeah, no, we saw the Jawas scavenge, so I guess that, but then it's like a real, you know, label and all the storytelling possibilities there. And I love that it comes back that Palpatine's like, I take it all back, you're a scavenger.
Yeah.
Right at the end and trying to bring her down. And it doesn't work. We got our final big grab bag of factions, maybe a wide variety. We got politician, skilled worker, pod racer, bartender, day drinker, entertainer, all sorts of stuff in there. Slicer. I should have put Slicer in there too. Where does your mind go with this collection? Who are your favorites and what more do you want to see? I mean, this is a big grab bag to go from politician to day drinker.
Yeah, daydream believer and a homecoming queen. It's all here in this list. I mean, I love for the pod racers. Give me that video game one day. The bartender one, Dexter. I'm obsessed with Dexter, man. Dexter Jetster's got a story to tell. He's got 50 stories to tell, and he'll tell you 49 of them. All you have to do is ask. Sometimes you don't even have to ask. He'll probably tell you. I bet he's that guy too. Yeah, there's all that there. So I'd love to see more of that. The politician stuff. I think we spent a lot of time with politicians in Star Wars, in Clone Wars and stuff like that. But exploring more of that is interesting to me too, which is why I'm really interested. I hope that part of the High Republic story continues to grow. Chancellor So and just what they're trying to do. I'm fascinated by that part of that story more in addition to the stuff with the Jedi and the Nile and everything there. So, but give me a bartender book.
Oh yeah. Oh man, that would be great. Yeah. I would love that. I just really want more political stories in Star Wars, the books, and have dived into it a little bit more. Certainly, the Padme books, because we're spending time with her as queen and senator, that we're diving in there, but I would love that in some more, screen stories. Obviously, that's been one of the great debates about the prequels of, you know, are the politics interesting or are they boring? I am on the interesting side. I'm on team interesting. So I have really high hopes for Mon Mothma in the Andor series. You know, she's obviously at that point, she is I guess she would still, depending on the timing, you might still be in the Senate, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't know exactly. I don't remember exactly when Andor is set. Anyway, to politician, military leader, kind of some of both at the same time. Bail, also, I'm really interested in spending some time with those characters there. And of course, you know, Lilo Primock. I want to spend some more time, if it's in the book. If it's a little golden book, I don't care. I want to see more of Lilo Primock, that weirdo floating around, singing songs, acting in a big suit. Great.
Oh, yeah.
I would be really interested for a video game or maybe even a Disney Plus show for some of these just really different kinds of careers. The stuff that gets briefly seen on screen, but gets expanded in books. I would love a putting together a gang for a mission of like, you know,
okay,
in order to do this, we need a politician. We need a famous pod racer. We need an actor. And we need this day drinker who's a washed up slicer, you know, and we're going to rob all of the casinos on Cantonga. You know, it doesn't need to necessarily be that, but, you know, something where like all these people have really different life perspectives, really different skills. Yeah, we need it. We need Wilrow Hood.
Yeah.
And let's bring them together. Might be a fun way to kind of keep the action and the tension of Star Wars, but celebrate, you know, on screen in a big way. It is a little bit what happened with Quill of like, look, Ugnaughts aren't boring just because they're like skilled workers. They're not boring. And to do that with a bunch of different of kind of characters, Star Wars characters who have a little bit more real world jobs, that would be really cool to see.
Give me Ocean's 11 on Cantonica, Canto Bite, post haste in Disney Plus. But I've turned, when you start talking, I went with a different direction. On the Disney Plus app, they got a lot of those like day, and I forget what it's called, like Day at Disney, or in there, you know, whatever. And it goes around and follows like employees at the park or this and that. Like, I'd love that with Star Wars. A day in Star Wars, bartenders.
Let's
do this realistic documentary style program about it. It'd be kind of fun, slightly tongue-in-cheek, but I think insightful into the Star Wars story.
I absolutely think that General Hux was making someone in the First Order do propaganda videos about the construction of Starkiller Base.
Yeah.
I'm sure that exists.
Yeah.
That would be fun and weird to see.
And then this is how we get our official, like, live action Opeepit, because I know the design was based off something in Force Awakens, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, to get Opeepit, like, just we're spending a day with Opeepit, the head janitor on the Colossus. I'd love that.
Please. This whole episode, really, you know, I said I was going to talk about Embo. Didn't get a ton of time, but we've had multiple mentions of Opeepit, one of the best Star Wars characters, I think. Are there any other specific factions or kinds of characters that we haven't discussed that you wanted to?
I mean, it's funny you mentioned missing archaeologists, and I missed saying that earlier, because I do love Aphra, and I love the potential Lor San Tekka in the same kind of vein, adventurer, collector. You mentioned it too with a droid going around. That is some fun, because I think it's a fun way to tell Star Wars history as well. And the Aphra comic, I haven't, the current one, I'm way behind on. But the other one too, it touched into that at times. Wacky, crazy adventure. Aphra's just a whirlwind of story and drama and emotion, but there's along the way, there's some just cool, like going through the galaxy and looking back at the past with it. You know, look, I'm an Indiana Jones fan. So if you want to put that more in Star Wars, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah. And I think going through this whole list and discussing it with you is just a huge reminder that we've got a lot of different stories diving into some of these different characters in books and comics. But it'd be great to see them featured more on screen.
Yes.
Yeah, so I also wanted to ask you, now that we've had a chance to really talk about it, dig into it, what do you think is important in the story of Star Wars that we do get to see characters who defy categorization? I mean, some of them are just like, yeah, no, Luke Skywalker, he's a main character. He does all these things. Leia does all these things. Han's change from scoundrel to, rebel hero of the rebellion. That's his journey. Other characters like Asajj get sort of dislodged from one identity who has to find another. So we've definitely got some storytelling about the characters who defy categorization. What is important to you about telling that story in Star Wars?
I think in one, Star Wars is about finding your place. So that might be something that leads to a title, but you are way more than that title. And also what you become in that category can be lost or can be changed if you've gone down the wrong path. And that's all part of the big Star Wars pictured. So own who you are a little bit. I'm kind of a Tyrion Lannister fan too of, hey, wear what you are on your sleeve and no one can use it against you. But I also think that you're not defined by that. And that's part of Luke staring out at the twin sons is he maybe should have been more present as a moisture farmer, but also he wanted to be something, a hero. And he got to go be both and learn what second one really truly meant. And he had his views changed on it and grew within that title. So that's part of the Star Wars story.
Yeah, I think that is well said. I don't think we've said well said this episode yet, so I'll say it to you. Well said. I do think characters define categorization, or sometimes really owning, no, this is who I am, this is who I wanted to be. I think looking at these factions or labels, it's clear that Star Wars makes an argument for complexity, that yeah. nobody is just one thing, that people contain multitudes. They can be different things depending on who they choose to be. So on one hand, it's like, oh, it really is a celebration of nobody is just one thing. But then there is also this emphasis in Star Wars of choice. You know, you're talking about Luke looking out at the twin sons and not wanting to be a moisture farmer, you know, like his aunt and uncle, and wanting to be something else. You know, there's so much in Star Wars that is about choice. And I think, like with Jedi characters across the era, Jedi is not just a label. Other people might shout, oh, it's a Jedi, and they have their bias or assumptions based on what they think a Jedi is, and Jedi encounter that a lot. But for a Jedi to choose to be a Jedi, that's a label that they choose. That's an identity they choose. But then within that, I think, you know, a conversation with the Jedi would be like, no, I chose that. I am a Jedi, but I am also all these other things. So for me, I come back to the words complexity and choice, and two real important ideas in Star Wars.
Love it.
Final question for you, Ken, is something that could either be a fun, wacky comedy question or a frighteningly deep question. You get to decide. What do you think your factions are in the real world for you, Ken Nabsok? What labels do you think of to define yourself?
Comedian, broadcaster, podcaster, but the one that gets assigned to me the most, and I try to fight against it, but it might be more true, is grumpy. So
you're a grumpy. I love that. That's a, yeah, just grumpy. A noun.
Yeah. I am a grump. So yeah, that's that. And it's all true, but it is similar to Star Wars story. This is where I laugh. It could get deeper. Is I, some of them, some boxes I'm put into, I don't necessarily want to, I'm proud to be a part of, but don't want to be a part of, because it can lead other people to have some thoughts about even me, and I could have them about other people. And that's kind of the thing we all have to fight against and fight against with, even within ourselves in life, labels, stereotypes. It's easy to just slap those on anybody and hold them too. So like, even when I say, I remember when I started doing sketch comedy, it was like, oh, I might want to do stand up. And I was like, ugh, the people just were like, oh, stand-ups, no. And then I get over to, you know, stand-up, and I was like, oh, I came from sketch comedy. Ugh, little crazy make-em-up sketch comics. Like, even on that level, labels can have negative connotations, be used against you, or be who you are, and you got to discover who you are underneath all those labels.
Yeah, that is great. You are speaking my life experience with yes. that. Oh, improv. Oh yeah, cool. Like, long form or short form?
Oh my god. Oh, you're so right. There's so many times I got talked down to because I was like, well, I just, you know, short form. Oh, so you don't really do it.
You don't do real improv. You just do jokes. Yeah, I mean, that's been a fascinating thing. Strangely, that I've seen many humans connected by their ability to subdivide.
Yes.
Even within. Yeah, this is just such a fascinating question to me, because like I was saying at the top, my personal belief is kind of, you know, you can look at a term like personal branding and it can be like, ugh, gross, yeah. Because it feels like personal branding suggests you're trying to sort of manufacture like a way to see yourself. But I think the truth of humanity is just like, we do need like one simple idea, like to hold on to, right? And to communicate quickly at the beginning of a relationship to people, who am I, you know? Right, and you see somebody, you know, tweet something funny on Twitter and you're like, hey, that was actually joyful or fun or insightful. Do I want to follow them? Who are they? What do they do? What kind of worlds are they a part of? You know, it's not always a bad thing. But then I think from the kind of the perspectives of our souls, where we can contain multitudes, it can feel limiting. And I've wrestled with that, you know, my entire career of trying to, as I did different things, like just even for bios, like, what do I want to put in there? How do I want to boil it down to just communicate at that just base level at the beginning of a relationship? you know, with somebody I'm going to work with, or with somebody who's maybe going to support anything I do. Like, who am I? You know, and that's just such a hard decision, you know. And I mostly go with writer and comedian because I was trying to come up with like the biggest umbrellas that everything I care about can be contained under, because I got to that point of like, well, I'm an actor, but I also do voice work. I did children's actor. I also did some Shakespeare. Well, I'm a director. I actually also do some graphic design. I used to play the drums. Like, just like, that's too much information. That's not what people need or want. So like, writer, comedian, podcaster, artsy guy, you know. And it's funny, even with that, you, no matter what you do, I think a part of reality is people will reflect back their way of trying to understand who you are. I remember I was talking to an in-law on, you know, obviously a relative of my wife, a great guy, always been super kind to me. Was last time I was able to visit Minnesota, was asking me, you know, what I was doing in Hollywood. And I was kind of breaking down about like, oh, well, I'm, you know, pitching these things and then, you know, doing this and talking to this person. And he's like, you know what you are? You're a hunter and gatherer. It's like that, he, you know, that was the way that he could process it and be like, oh, you don't have one job. It's like, you kind of have jobs, but you're kind of always out there trying to get other jobs. You're a hunter gatherer. Like, I would never put that is my own Twitter bio, but I could see how it made sense to him from him, his perspective of looking at me.
I love that. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Yep. So I'm going to change my LinkedIn profile one of these days to hunter and gatherer. See what I get out of that. Any final thoughts on this big topic of factions and character types in the Star Wars galaxy?
Always so fun to dive into something you think's just on the surface of things and there's so much behind it, but also so much fun in discussing it. And I love taking the Star Wars discussion back to those playgrounds of my youth. This used to be my playground. Run around picking a faction to tell your own Star Wars story. Great stuff.
That is a great way to end it, with some songs on the playground. So, Ken, do you want to let people know where they can find us?
Absolutely do. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We are on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. Podcasts available on a lot of spots, including Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support us directly. You can also follow me at Ken Napzok. Go to my website, kennapzok.com, for information on all the things I'm doing. Also over at the Good People Association at the GPA.fun. Joseph.
Yeah, you can follow me Twitter and Instagram for all sorts of comedy adventures. And also my website, josephscrimshot.com, has links to comedy albums, plays, all sorts of things I've done in my life and career. And there's ticket link to an online show I'm doing soon on Valentine's Day with my friends, the great music comedy duo, The Double Click. So you can check that out there. For now, for myself, for Ken, and most importantly, for O Peepit, this has been Force Center.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both as twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.